Turn, please, to the book of the Proverbs. In a few moments, in closing the afternoon meeting, may the Lord graciously just give us a little lift further in our souls. Chapter 15 of the book of the Proverbs. And verse 13. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. Notice verse 15. All the days of the afflicted, and this is the word for frustration, all the days of those who are frustrated are evil or wretched, just plain wretched. But he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Again, this is repeated in chapter 17, please, and verse 22. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. Now, just for a few moments, I would like to note these three expressions, and interestingly, they are not all the same relative to our interpretation of them in English. We would think of a merry heart as being someone who is necessarily sort of a bubbling personality, and they're just bubbling over all the time. And of course, the result of that may be indeed quite different than what we have read the results to be of a truly merry heart. Let me note with you that in verse 13 of chapter 15 and in verse 22 of chapter 17, the idea of having a merry heart is a heart that's bursting with praise. A heart that just cannot contain the appreciation of worth that it sees in an object or particularly in a person. And our application will be at the closing of the meeting to seek to notice a little of praising the Lord Himself. In verse 15 of chapter 15 of the Proverbs, the merry heart here is a heart that is bursting with goodness. And it's the goodness of giving. A heart that just wants to give. And that's a merry heart. A heart that is just occupied with giving of itself. And of course the results is what I would like to note a little with you this afternoon. First of all, let us try to notice, brethren, what it means to have a heart that's bursting with praise. In order to have a merry heart in this fashion, there must be an occupation with an object that captivates the heart. A heart that represents, of course, as we were thinking even this morning, we were remembering in our Bible reading concerning the conscience. There are occasions in the Bible when the heart represents the conscience. That is to say, it's the inward feelings and the decisions and the emotions of the inward person. And here is one, occupied with the Lord Jesus, may I say, dear brethren, and indeed, that ought to be our chief occupation. And the result of that is, it just bursts into a song. A merry heart that doeth good like a medicine, we read in chapter 17 and verse 22. Now I would like to note with you that this has a dual application. A heart that's filled with praise, it has a dual application and result. First of all, upon the person whose heart is occupied with the Lord Jesus. And secondly, the resultant praise has an effect upon others. Now the contrast of it you'll notice in the end of that verse, but a broken spirit. Now the idea of being broken here is not the idea of being wounded beyond repair, so it's just plain broken, you may as well discard it. It's a spirit, and note the difference here. It's the idea of a person's spirit that's just let go. There's a discouragement, and there's a distress. And there's a condition in the heart of saying, no sense, let go. Just let go of the thing and let it ride. Maybe if I let go, things will get better. Ah, the great remedy, beloved, for each of our hearts here this afternoon is occupation with an object that captivates the heart. And the heart captivated with the glories and the honors of our Lord Jesus. I thought of this afternoon a little when I was thinking of the Bible reading this morning. Dear Paul, he's captivated by the grace of his God. captivated by the person of his Savior. Beautiful language, did we not read in that chapter, 1 Timothy 1 this morning? God our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Marvelous title that he gives to his God. So intelligent. What has provoked that intelligence? It's occupation with the person. And as he is subject to the Spirit of God, the greatness of God is unveiled to that man's soul. He's illuminated with the greatness of the revelation of his exalted Lord, the man who captivated him on the day of his conversion. And from that day onward, Paul never lost sight of the transcending glories of his beloved Lord and God. And dear brethren, that resulting of that is in one's own person. The first result is, if I may use the Authorized here, actually I believe the Revised is probably a little more authentic, yet let's just use both of them. Maybe that may be a compromise, but let's use them both anyway. It doeth good. That is, it doeth good unto another. It actually has an effect. This praise cannot but have an effect. And it has an effect on one's own countenance. You know, it's a very interesting thing. I find it interesting to study faces. And very often, preachers of the gospel in particular, they become great students of faces because they're watching the people whom they're preaching to. They're trying to read their faces, looking to see what God is doing in the inward man. And it comes out on the face and you can't help it. And my dear brethren, what you've been occupied with comes out in your face. And you can't help that. You can't change it. If your soul is a soul that's been occupied with the Lord Jesus, it comes out in your face. That's just automatic. Who could help but be a soul? Perhaps that dear sister that is alone on her bed this afternoon, and you visit her and speak to her about the Lord Jesus. And I've had that experience this week, and I say it gives me joy and humbles me in my heart. Jim Smith, why is it that your heart is not bursting with this praise? There's only one reason. There's not sufficient occupation with the object, our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. But it bursts out. It manifests itself. But the Revised gives us this thought, a merry heart doeth good to others like a medicine. Ah, the bursting out of that praise. What a very precious thing it is. The story is told of one man by the name of Card, lived in a past generation, of course, and he was a man who loved to the Lord Jesus and who loved to sing, and he enjoyed singing the praises of his Lord. He was speaking with a brother who was a preacher. And they were speaking together, along with another dear saint, about the coming again of the Lord Jesus. And the preacher, in his explanation of the wonder of standing in the presence of the Lord Jesus, he made that statement, a part of a hymn which we often sing. And he was enjoying the things of God and speaking of the radiance of the presence of Christ. And little old Card said, that will be glory for me. And that's where the song came from, brethren. And you know what they dubbed that dear old man? Old Glory Man. That's what he was occupied with. That's a merry heart. A heart that's occupied with the glory of his Lord. He couldn't help that statement. Why, it just came out of his heart. It just burst up. That will be glory for me. Ah, brethren, that we could hear more statements such as those amongst us. Hear more of the expressions of hearts that are occupied with the Lord Jesus. A merry heart. It maketh a cheerful countenance. And brethren, that's infectious. That's what this little verse is saying. Why, others are, it's communicated to them. An appreciation of the Lord Jesus brings cheer to a wounded one. And it brings as well strength to those who are weak, even physically. And the person of the Lord Jesus, it fills the preacher's hand and fills his mouth. And it fills the Sunday school class with a sense of divine presence. Brethren, there is no greater object for my little heart than just to be occupied with the praiseworthiness of the Lord Jesus Christ, my God, my Savior. And the heart bursts forth. In the other passage that we read in chapter 15 and verse 13, the merry heart that's shouting praise, bursting with praise, you will notice that but by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. So here is a choice of occupation. If I may say it in a very loose fashion here this afternoon, just for a moment. Here's a person, a dear believer, and they're making a choice. Are they going to sit and grumble about all the things that are should be different, and they wish were different, and the faults of another? Or are they going to look upon the virtues of another? And that other is our beloved Lord. Ah, my dear brethren, can I encourage and can I say to those who are young in the faith here today, remember these are divine principles. They work. And if you are occupied with less than the Lord Jesus, your heart will not be a heart bursting with praise. That's a principle. As we were noticing this morning, all divine principles have results. That which honors God will always result in blessing in the life and testimony and in the heart, even of that individual. And all disobedience to divine principles always brings sorrow. It cannot reap otherwise. And that's the principle that is here. A heart that is occupied with the worth and the praise of the glory of the Lord Jesus and of our God, it makes a cheerful countenance. And as we notice in verse 22, it doeth good like a medicine. Let me note the other one just for a moment. In verse 15, all the days of the afflicted or the frustrated ones. There's a burned out man at the office, isn't it? There's that burned out sister too. Poor old mother. And there's the little fella hanging onto her leg, wiping his nose on her skirt. She doesn't know what to do, does she? That's what it is. All the days of the frustrated are wretched. But he that is of a merry heart. Oh, how sweet that word is. He that is of a heart that wants to give hath a continual peace. Oh, God graciously help us, brethren, to sit at the table of divine feasting. It's a heart that gives. Our world, brethren, and our flesh, which responds to that which is calculated in the world to give it its desires and its and all that it's looking for, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. Let us never forget, it always makes us selfish. Self-centered believers, selfish-thinking believers, all they think about is themselves. And Smith number one must learn the lesson. A merry heart, a giving heart. What is he doing? Brethren, this is the result of being occupied with the object. The one who fills and captivates our hearts, our divine, exalted, glorified Lord. You cannot be occupied with him and be selfish. That's impossible. Why, this is what produces likeness to the Lord Jesus, and that's what's here. A merry heart. A heart that's happy in giving. You know, one lesson God very graciously had to teach me, and I'm not saying this because I want to talk about myself either, but when I was down and I was told I was not going to be here, or if I was, I would be a cripple, I want to tell you, I did an awful lot of heart searching and asking God graciously, would he show me why? Why did he bring me into this? I'm not asking him why me. I could well say as another, why not me? That's not my problem. Afflictions in the flesh are due to all of us, brethren, because of who we are. That's all. We're all subject to those afflictions. But I wanted to know why, Lord. What is the divine purpose in this? What do you want out of me to be brought out of this? And I'd like to tell you there's one thing that the Lord laid very heavily and repeatedly upon my heart. Listen to it, brethren. They first gave themselves unto the Lord. That's all he wanted. He just wanted me, just to enjoy me. It humbles me. It thrills me. I trust it fills me today. All he wants is me. And my dear brethren, a merry heart is a heart that's occupied with just, gladly, unreservedly giving themselves to the Lord. May that be our portion, rather than the broken spirit, rather than that which would break others' spirits, rather than that which is in poverty. He that hath a merry heart hath a continual feast. Brethren, you never lose by giving to God, never. He's no man's debtor. He could never be poor. And a man who is giving is abundant in all his greatness and has a continual feast. May we be men of a merry heart. burst out with praise, brethren, gladly give ourselves unto our God and to his beloved people until we see his face.